WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the other side of the draft. And, you know, I've been at this a long time, 27 years. We used to convene over at the barn for crabs. Instead, we're going to be at Conrad's Crabs this week. We're going to be up in Perry Hall, the old stomping grounds, on Friday. It's all presented by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. This guy will be here on Thursday from 3 until 5, talking all things post-draft. And, you know, some years, I remember back in, like, was it 98, 99? It was 99. We had that draft where Phil Savage was all despondent when he showed up at the barn because he only had, like, five players. But when you bring back the full cupboard of all of these young players, Dennis, all of the scouts feel good. Recommendations were made. Even made the kicking coach happy. Taking a punter probably didn't make Sam Cook very happy. Nonetheless, it was an eventful weekend. We'd be here a long time talking about this week, right?
Yeah, 11 picks. That's quite a haul for Eric DaCosta and company. And I would think it wouldn't be a good feeling if you didn't feel good about your draft after it was completed. You have to feel good about these players. But as guys my age and your age are quick to tell younger people, Nestor, that you really can't evaluate a draft until 3 years later. That's when you can see if these picks really have panned out. But if this potential is going to get fulfilled or not, but it was an interesting draft up and down the board. Fan base is never satisfied. Everybody wants that wide receiver, but they still have until September the 1st to complete this roster. So they should have a free agent wide receiver in the future. I hope it's Jarvis Landry. I think it'd be a good fit for the Ravens. And they have certainly freed up some cap space in order to get a veteran wide receiver in us.
Well, Dan, I talked to Leonard Raskin about this, and I like mixing and matching my sponsors and friends to manage things, you know. And Leonard manages money. I talked about asset allocation. And in the NFL, different than baseball, right? We'll find out when Rutschman comes here later this month, the $30 million payroll versus $240 million. Everybody in the NFL gets the same thing, right? Same amount of money, same amount of draft picks. The way that, you know, when you stink, you get the number one pick. When you win the Super Bowl, you get the last pick. So by birth, they get the 14th pick in every round of seven rounds of a draft. That's what everybody else gets. They get the same salary cap or $238 million, whatever the number is this year, right? And yet on draft weekend, that's a differentiator for them in the way you can pay your coaches whatever you want. You can make your facility whatever you want. You can steal money if you're Dan Snyder. Allocate money to Kenny Chesney concerts if you wish. But for them to come out of this with all of these fourth round picks, for them to game the system of how supplemental picks work when you let a Rush Edge go, when you let a player, Matt Judon, go, you're saying, what are we going to get? We're going to get the 110th, 115th, 120th pick in the draft and make do with that. The Ravens like that. The Ravens understand the salary cap. The Ravens like scouting. They like picking these young football players. But this particular draft has been an exercise in that, where even Hollywood Brown, very difficult for Eric DaCosta to say, we're going to deal my former number one pick when the lights are on here, who's best friends with my $230 million quarterback. These are tough management decisions, but more than that, this asset allocation, I'm fascinated, because Mr. Koontz gives you a budget every year and says, then you got to run the dealership with this, and you got to find the best mechanics, the best salespeople, the best everything. And the Ravens do the same thing. And Bisciotti's sitting in there and he loves picking people. This is one of his favorite activities. There's no doubt that if you run anything, this is a favorite part of, and this is no shocker that you love this part of the NFL this weekend.
No, like you, I find it fascinating. The Hollywood Brown situation in and of itself is very fascinating. And then for them to recoup a number one draft pick in exchange for the services, the 23rd overall draft pick, which is going to be Tyler Linderbaum, and of course, And you're talking about a center that can be with us for 10, 12 years in exchange for a receiver that basically we didn't pay him a whole lot for his first 3 years. And to get a number one draft pick for him in return, another guy now that you can leverage. This is what the best teams do, Nestor. This is what the best front offices do. They had a chance to pick a punter that they think could be their punter for the next 10, 12 years. That's the business side of the equation. And they're going to move away from the players, be it Hollywood Brown or Sam Cook, at the right time. Right player, right price, right player, right time as well.
All right, let's go through all these picks, right? Because we did a little bit on Thursday night. You can go find that out at Baltimore Positive, out on YouTube, and anywhere you follow Dennis at the Di Colazzo Show. Certainly, we'll get together again on Thursday and through the weekend as this thing. We'll be doing Preakness. We're going to be doing the Rutschman's going to be coming up. So really taking a deep dive this week on these players and what this represents. But I'll say this, if I would have spent time with Eric back when he flew down to Jupiter to get together with Bisciotti back in January, and you would have said, Hamilton probably won't be there. Even though he's a safety, probably won't be there at 14. Lindenbaum will be there. Now, what are we doing with a center at 14? Or, you know, if he's really our guy, we can back up and get him. And Ojabo, yeah, 14, you know, my brother knows him. He's a good player. Maybe he fits our system. He certainly, you know, had a great career, that all of that. And then the injury happens. The Hollywood Brown situation happens. And Eric takes these assets, you know, that he has in the organization and says, would I trade a wide receiver who's a $13 million guy for a two-term center that we like from Iowa that comes with the highest? Would we do that? The fact that they wound up with three of the football players they really coveted, and they could talk about the nose tackle as well as being a guy that they wanted. The punter is obviously somebody they coveted. They gave up a nice draft pick. That's the punter they want for the next 8 years. They've identified that. So they checked a lot of boxes here, but more than that, they wound up getting more than I think they thought they would get. If you would have said to Eric back in January, this is what your card's going to look like, I think Eric would be really pleased with himself.
Yeah, I think so too. They did a lot of homework, of course, and I saw Peter King's, he had an article in Pro Football Talk, and he talked about, he was in a Ravens draft room from the fourth round on, so he was able to listen to the conversations between Ozzie and Eric and John, and even Steve's input. But they take this thing very, very seriously. And there were a couple of running backs they wanted. Isaiah Spiller was one of them that they missed out on in the fourth round. But they got Tyler Batty. That's another great story. Local kid, Randallstown, went to Friends High School, went to Missouri, drafted in the sixth round. So, again, they're playing for keeps. I mean, they spent a lot of time in it. And DaCosta talked about having a giraffe in a room from his kid's bedroom. And he said, you have to stick your neck out if you're going to be successful. And I think they stuck their neck out in a couple of cases. And hopefully these things will pay dividends down the road for the Ravens.
Well, in sticking their neck out and making deals and the aftermath of this, I had Mike Tenier on from Football Outsiders, one of my favorite people, the running gun gangster. Love talking football with him. Joe Flacco's one-time math teacher. And we were talking about, you know, how all this plays out for numbers and salary cap and where they are, but the wide receiver thing has him concerned, right? So at this point they are down a receiver because of the deal, but to your point, they always seem to figure this out. And any Monday morning you wake up, I remember when we lost CJ Mosley, we're like, oh, what are we gonna do? And he responded by signing Earl Thomas. Maybe not the greatest situation, but for a day we sat here and said, and Luke and I fell victim to this 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. What are we going to do? Who are we going to play? We don't have any players. So I think at any point you can start that. I think they like Duvernay and Prochet maybe more than we think they do. And I think some of this was the Sammy Watkins game. And, you know, Hollywood took up a lot of oxygen, 167 targets in an offense that did not do a lot of targeting and doesn't throw the ball much. What do you make of the Hollywood thing, by the way, Dennis? I mean, give me your politics on that, because I think it was really hard to evaluate that on Friday morning. I think I needed the weekend, and not even the fact that they didn't draft another wide receiver. And Peter King reported that they lost this wide receiver that they wanted to the Steelers of all.
Right.
But he was, you know, he's the 15th wide receiver taken. I'm not losing my mind over that, even though he was a nice piece for what they wanted to do, like Hollywood Brown. But the Hollywood Brown thing, the intrigue for all of it, the fact that it was quiet, that Antonio Brown's cousin didn't mouth off, right? And that he winds up at the team party, and then Lamar on social media. The whole thing's a little funky, not the way I thought it was going to work out. A little unorthodox.
He's been mouthing off, though, Nestor, on social media for the last 2 years, kind of passive-aggressive in that type of fashion. He talked about if you want to win a game, you got to get the ball to your soldiers, made a comment like that. And so the last 2 years, you can tell he wasn't happy with the offense. He wasn't happy with the scheme. He wasn't happy with his targets. And if you have Antonio Brown in your ear, maybe your headspace isn't what it needs to be. Clearly, he wanted out of Baltimore. Clearly, his relationship was with Lamar wasn't strong enough to keep him here in Baltimore. He talked about wanting to play with Kyler Murray. This thing has been in the works, not just for weeks. I think it's been in the works for the last couple of years. So from a business standpoint, the Ravens take a malcontent, a receiver who doesn't want to be here, who you're not going to extend in 2023. You're not going to give him a $100 million contract. He's not part of your future plans.
By the way, he's going to be a pain in the ass if you don't give him a $100 million contract,
well,
right?
The thing is, he's going to be a pain in the ass even if you pay him. He's been a pain in the ass even though he's been the first-round draft pick trying to play for that second contract, right? So he's been a pain already. He's been he's a me-first type of a player. He's a bit of a diva. And Steve Smith called him out, said he can't get off the press. You got to put him in motion. He's kind of a decoy, kind of gimmicky to get open. For all these factors, I think the Ravens really got top value for him. I mean, another first-round draft pick, a player now, a Linderbaum that you have for that fifth-year option and what it presents. The business thing to do is exactly what DaCosta got for him. And the fact that he got a first-round draft pick, Master, is amazing. They were going to move from him one way or another. He didn't want to be here. And guess what? They didn't want him to be here either.
We want volunteers, not hostages.
Not hostages. That's right. That's a great, great quote. You know,
by the way,
these are highly paid volunteers. So let's not forget about that, Master.
When I was drinking with Tomlin at the owners' meetings a couple of weeks ago, it was unique because he was surrounded by Steelers writers and they all knew that he and I, like, that they would find me. So there's like three Steelers and we went, had a little round table over a drink about our favorite Tomlin quotes of the year. And that was my favorite.
There's plenty of them. And keep in mind, if you talk about volunteers, the Ravens were about to pick up Hollywood Brown's option, which would have been $13 million. I don't know of any volunteer. I'm not aware of any volunteers nest around town that are making $13 million. If somebody wants to pay me $13 million to volunteer, 410-218-0337, call that number right now.
That's about $800,000 a week, right? About the new math. That's yeah. Okay if you only catch six balls and you make 800 grand this week, right? Like,
especially
it'd be okay
if
you win?
Yeah, plus you're dropping every one ball for every six you catch. Let's not forget about that either.
Dennis Colazzo's tough words on Hollywood Brown.
He doesn't have the stick in his hand. I mean, he almost single-handedly cost the team the Lions game, right? If it wasn't for that field goal, the historic field goal by Justin Tucker, the Ravens would have lost another game. He hasn't had the shortest hands on the team. He really hasn't. Not for a guy you picked to be wide receiver one. And I do think it says a lot for Eric DaCosta to move on so swiftly and quickly from the first player he ever drafted.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, because he wasn't screaming about it or bitching about it doesn't mean that he didn't take care of business in the end with his own asset allocation to pick up a center. Dennis Colazzos is here. He is there over Coons 40. He already gave you the phone number. You know you can get a great deal on a new or pre-owner. Just if you need some service, you need some smart, some advice, or if you're going to order a car online like my wife's going to do and click, you can go do that as well. He'll also be here on Thursday. You can follow him at D Colazzos Show as well as on Sunday mornings. He's here from 3 until 5 on Thursday on AM 1570. All right, so the big picture of the draft, the weirdest part of the weekend, my wife and I were sitting over at State Fair having chicken and waffle Saturday morning, and she saw the backdrop. She's like, doesn't even look like the draft. It looks like they're going to come out with like a water show and some dancing girls, and the Go-Go's are going to come out and water ski and sing Vacation or something. It really is. It's amazing just on an ethical level, a financial level, a spiritual level, how quickly the National Football League has embraced Vegas. It's really incredible after sitting here for 28 years and having Kevin Burns say, if you mention wagering on the air, it's going to affect your press access because if you're inside and you're running numbers, we can't have that in our locker room. Calvin Ridley would answer that question too.
Yes, he would. It's an amazing spectacle. And I don't know if you saw Ed Marinaro almost getting the hook off the stage. He kind of used up all of the 2 minutes on himself. That was a lot of fun, but it's a lot of fun watching the fans from different teams, represent their teams and whatnot. I saw the Ravens contingency. They were there. Love to hear Goodell get booed. Love to see some of the stories that come out of there, but boy, oh boy, this thing is such a spectacle, isn't it?
Yeah. And now like, I want my own draft. When do we get one? When do we get in rotation, Dan?
I guess Bashotti's got to cozy up to Goodell, and maybe by 2040, we'll be in the running for draft. It would be great for the city of Baltimore to host an NFL draft, wouldn't it? It's just an amazing thing.
Well, I talked a lot about World Cup, and yeah, I don't want to get too far off point here, but I don't think you and I talked about it at all. I talked to everybody last week. I mean, from Pete Carinci, Kenny Cooper was on with us, Grant Wall, Steve Goff. I've done a lot of conversation in regard to the World Cup coming to Baltimore. Man, if we get a World Cup, right, then we can get anything, right? So I would say if that were to happen 6 weeks from now, maybe there would be an NFL draft here in 28 or 29 or 30. You know what I mean? Like, I think one begets the other. I know they're going to want to do more stuff in L.A., Vegas. They're, you know, getting stadiums online and all these places. Eventually, they'll ship Jacksonville and San Diego over to Europe. They're going to put those dates out this week as well. But I guess the big picture on all of it is, where is Baltimore in all of this? They've taken that thing and made it something, and they have to take it somewhere. I would love to see us put an effort together to get the draft. I really would.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of immigrants here in the greater Baltimore metropolitan area, Nestor, that would support World Cup and whatnot. A lot of Europeans, a lot of first, second generation folks that would love to see these football matches. But yeah, you're right. To have an NFL draft, I mean, it's got to be great for the economics of any city, and we would certainly get heavily involved with that.
You know, I can get angry at Angelos for a lot of things. I mean, like, really, like, and I have been, and I've opined. I'm not even angry anymore. People, you hate, I'm way past any of that. But when I think of all the transgressions, all the awful stuff that he did to people, whether it was John Miller or whether it's just the metropolis in general by putting crappy baseball out and raising prices and whatever you think of the politics or the land or anything awful he's ever done, the worst thing in the book to me was when the Ravens won the Super Bowl and denying the city the party. Like
100%.
To me, they're nothing even close. Mike Flanagan, I'll throw anything in on him, but that thing there, to cost the city the biggest event it would have, and maybe in our lifetime, if we don't get a World Cup or we don't ever win again, or God forbid we lose a franchise and it never happens again. Because, you know, it's not a birthright that you win Stanley Cups or World Series or what. Ask the people in D.C. They had their fun the last couple of years. I don't know when the next parade's coming there for the Wizards or for the Commanders or whatever. When you win like that and you have an event. And that's why I'm saying, like, Vegas is its own event, and it was always great to go to Vegas. Now they get drafts. Now they get Super Bowls. Now they're sucking off of – L.A.'s involved in all of this. That the fact that we might never get that draft thing here, we might never get an all-star game here again, the fact that this World Cup thing's in play makes it an even bigger deal for me, Den, that I'm talking a lot about it with you, Luke, anybody, because I want people to understand what a BFD this is, as opposed to a WTF or an OMG.
Oh, I know. And you just ripped a scab off of a very old wound with the Angelos decision, the Orioles decision, not to allow the Ravens to play here, not to figure that out and really celebrate.
I have people
with
on this radio station saying, well, that's his right. No, it's not.
Oh, come on.
No, you know.
And the bigger picture, too, from a football standpoint, now, we started that season in Denver, right? And what did Manning throw for? Peyton Manning threw for 5 or 7 touchdowns.
Was there. I watched them all. It was
7
disgusting.
Touchdowns. If that game was played in Baltimore, there's no way in hell he would have thrown that many touchdowns. To me, that started off the season with a very sour taste, a very bad mood, put the team behind the eight ball versus being here in Baltimore, celebrating and getting at least a better chance to start the season 1-0. Versus 0-1, completely took away that away from the fan base that also has season tickets for the Orioles, that has supported the Orioles through many, many seasons, the bulk of them bad.
Yeah. I mean, I it's not even a sour grape thing, but it's a watching the draft and saying, can we have it? It's seeing this World Cup thing and thinking, Dennis, I mean, I've done a lot of work on this, right? Like if the FIFA is going to deny Washington, D.C. a bid, I don't think there's any way they're going to do that, you know, and maybe it's a partial bid. Maybe we only get 4 games or something, mm-hmm. right? Because it's Baltimore and they want to play 4 more in Foxborough and say, mm-hmm. you guys get a half a bid and we'll give DC the other half or Philadelphia, even 4 in Philadelphia, 4 in Baltimore, DC. It's a regional thing on the train, whatever. But the fact that I really believe we're going to get games, and that's the most unbelievable thing.
Well, if we're getting games, you can bet I'm going. I haven't attended a soccer match in many, many years.
All right. Well, I like that. So from the Ravens draft, you're very good with it. Wide receiver, We've been at this a while. They have until
September. You know, they have until September the 1st. The season isn't starting next week. It's starting months from now. They need a veteran wide receiver in that locker room. We don't know his name yet. I don't think it's going to be Odell Beckham Jr. I don't think it's going to be Will Fuller. I do think they have a good chance to land Jarvis Landry. And also in this offense, how many wide receivers do you need? You have two rookie tight ends you have to incorporate into the offense. It's still going to be a run-first offense. Hopefully Rashad Bateman takes the next step and become an elite-level wide receiver, but you're not going to be the Kansas City Chiefs. You're not going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're not going to throw the ball 50 times a game.
Dan, I appreciate you. I will see you on Thursday between 3 and 5. Dennis Colazos will be here. D. Colazos Show. He is over Coons, Baltimore Ford on Security Boulevard. Tell me what you're doing over there because spring has sprung. I don't know where we are. We're not four-wheel drives. I need a little ragtop. I need a little moonroof right now, Dan.
Spring has sprung. We have more inventory than anybody else in the region, both new and pre-loved. So just get out here. We'll put you in the vehicle of your choice. If we don't have one, we're going to encourage you to order one because that's a smart way of getting a vehicle these days. You can place your order. It'll be here in 6 to 8 weeks, maybe. It may take longer than that. You can always walk away from it. There's no deposit required here at Coons Ford of Baltimore. So the best thing to do is come out and see us, and we'll go over all of your options with you.
You know, the world, we know how the world is, right? My friends at Window Nation, you got to wait. You got to order. Bill Cole, I have his mug here. All he says, man, you want a roof next year, you got to order it this year. That's just where we are, right? And that's a new world order. So, hey, get a car. I mean, it's springtime. My wife she's been clicking away, and she did say, did you like that car you drove around the beach last year? I'm like, what difference does it make if I like it? Go test drive it. You call Dennis, he'll put you out in it right now. Maybe not the same blue one I had. You got to get me a gold one with the Maryland flag on it for August. I got to run
that's
around.
That's what I have. So we'll put one together for you for sure.
Dennis Colazos, he's here on Thursday. You can follow him at D. Colazos Show. And, of course, find him at Coons Baltimore Ford. I am Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. Bringing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road this week with the Betty Boop Scratch-Offs, presented by the Maryland Lottery and our friends at Goodwill Industries and Window Nation. We'll be at Conrad's Crabs on Friday, 2 until 5. Be good to see you. Rob Santoni just ran the Boston Marathon, too, from Wise Market. So it's going to be good times. I'm Nestor. We are WNSD AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking. Draft and Baltimore positive.